Hey there, folks, and welcome back to Hardly Heroes. I am Caleb B. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow Eddie at EDDYC85. Follow John at Jorge Blanco. As always, check out the Grave Consequences podcast, a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network that drops every Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Central Time. You can also check out John on the Deep Blitz podcast. That is a Friday morning podcast, correct, John?
Yes, we're every Friday now.
Awesome.
6 a.m.
Awesome. Of course, the mainline show that is on this feed, Wednesday nights after AEW Dynamite, Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast. This week we have got Spider-Man?
Yes, Spider-Man. Well, God, is that...
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, because we did...
Spider-Man. Recording date is April 11, the late hours of April 11, just after night two of WrestleMania. John, you said you wanted to start. You had a little rant or a tangent you were going to go on, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, the ending tonight, I know a lot of people are going to be up in the air about it. Very polarized reactions for sure, depending on who you were rooting for. And even though it may have looked controversial, just let me say, the Phillies won that game, and the Phillies won clean, and the Phillies absolutely deserved to win in the main event tonight.
Well, I'm not going to dignify that with a response. I mean, I think personally the Braves should file protest and have the bottom of the ninth, or maybe even start at the top of the tenth if you want to be quote-unquote fair. Finish the game. But, you know, whatever. I mean, MLB Repel was an elkin joke, but that's fine.
Are you really going to make me edit this at midnight? God, Caleb, I hate you so much. I'm glad the Braves lost. I wish they'd lost 12 to nothing. Now you're making me edit at midnight. You go to hell. I sentence you to watch 10 hours of Nia Jax matches. How do you like that? I hope the Braves don't even make the playoffs. God, I'm glad you lost the All-Star game. Undeserving city.
Well, you know what? Here's another one. Hope in one hand and shit in the other.
Making me angry at midnight. Sorry, I don't work second shift.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But John started this. We're not here for baseball. We're here for wrestling. We're here for WrestleMania.
Yeah. We are here for WrestleMania. We did it last night. We know the drill. You were not here. You were somewhere else, less important. But, Well, look, let's just get it started. The show opens with Randy Orton defeats The Fiend. Real quick, here's a format, just so we can speed things up, because it is, want to get to bed soon, and I have extra editing to do. I'll drop the match, everybody gives their thoughts, we move on to the next one. So, yeah. This match, this sucked. I have no interest in this feud. I'm a grown man. This insults my intelligence. I don't care why Alexa Bliss turned on The Fiend. It's so stupid. I don't care. It's dumb. The fact that The Fiend can survive being burned alive, but an RKO puts him down for 3 count when a few weeks ago he just pops right back up. None of this makes any sense. It sucks, and I hate it, and I'm glad that it was the first match to get it over with. And I'm glad that the people booted at the end when everybody just disappeared. Because if you were wondering, if you're one of those people on Twitter that was like, actually, this stuff is really good and The Fiend's a genius, this is what it would be like if there were fans. With all this dumb crap that they do with lights falling and people coming back from the dead or whatever, this is how the fans would have reacted. They booed it. And the disappearing stuff, Bray coming out of a box, a box-like object or whatever stupid thing Michael Cole said, Yeah, none of this. By the way, Michael Cole was terrible tonight and yesterday, who botched the Bianca Belair finish. Forgot to mention that. But yeah, this sucked. I hated it, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, no, it was not good. I thought the little cartoon magic they did of him, you know, in the back, changing from burnt Toxic Avenger Fiend to normal Fiend, I thought that was cheesy. The Fiend stuff is just cheese now. Like, it's out of place in WWE, and this match was bad, and I'm glad they got this over with, and I sincerely hope they stop wasting Randy Orton on this feud.
Yeah. Gave it a quarter star on Grapple, by the way.
So.
It was bad, but I liked the big Jack in the Box, and I mean, I'm curious to see where they go with the Bliss turn. Him coming out as regular Fiend was kind of interesting to me because I didn't expect them to like revert like that. But overall, the match did suck. The red lights are horrendous and need to go away. But I am curious to see where it goes.
And, you know, real quick, you know what's funny about the red light is that is it actually looks a little better in person than it does on TV.
I've seen it, and I think I've seen it in person, too. I've definitely seen the Fiend at, like, house shows and stuff, but I can't remember if they ever actually, like, if they did the lights for the match or not when I was there. Because it was, match stuff.
Fair enough. Next up, Ed.
All right, next up. Nia Jax defeats Shayna, or sorry, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeated Natalya and Tamina. This was the second longest match on the show at 14:20. It felt like 34:20.
I'm sorry. I really thought they weren't going to do this. I really was like, no, they couldn't go through with this. They're going to have replacements. And they didn't. They did it, and it sucked. And let's go to the next match.
Yeah.
I told you they weren't going to have replacements.
The finish was
oblivious. They can't really think this is going to work. But nope.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the booking of this. This was so bizarre that, like, let's have the least over. It was heel-heel. And then let's have the least over team in the previous match win. And they build it up to have this Tamina power slam on Nia, which they did, and it looked horrendous. And it's like, it didn't matter because the champs retained. So, like, why couldn't they have, I don't know, these belts, like, who cares about these belts? Like, you could have had the Riot Squad win, and it could have been a fun moment. People could have cheered, but whatever. This was bad, and I gave it... I gave it 1.5 stars, which is, it was better. It wasn't a train wreck like I thought. So there you go.
The other thing they could have done too, and that they didn't, that would have saved this a little bit, is if you were going to go heel for the match and have a bad long match, then at least have a new team show up at the end, whoever that is, even if it's a team that doesn't make any sense, like Charlotte and Lacey. I mean, I think Lacey's legit pregnant, but whatever, like Charlotte and anybody. Yeah. Give people something that wasn't that match, because that was bad and didn't need to happen.
Yeah, and the finish also made Natalya look like literally the dumbest person in wrestling.
Yes.
Also, it just hit me. Did we have heels win every single match tonight?
No, the next one was the exception.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens defeated Sami Zayn with Logan Paul in 9:20.
I love this. This was so much fun. I've said it before, but I got to see them multiple times at ROH, tagging together and against each other. I think the second ROH show I ever went to, they tagged against the Motor City Machine Guns. That was like one of the big promoted matches. Then I got to see them go against each other in the Fight Without Honor at Final Battle 2010 and in the Ladder War at Final Battle 2012, which I think was Generico's last ROH match. But so getting to see them do this on this stage was really cool. I was disappointed that Owens didn't jump off of any fire chips, but I liked that they did the callbacks to their old matches. The Owens going for the apron spot with the powerbomb on the outside near the ramp, just like he did the night he debuted in NXT and turned on Zayn, was a nice touch. They did like some fun reversals or whatever. And, at one point, Zayn hit the Brainbuster, and Graves called it very ROH-like, where he goes, Brainbuster! And that was like a fun little like wink and nod to longtime Smarky fans. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And then afterwards, Logan Paul selling the stunner like death.
Wow, that was great.
I loved that sell.
Yeah, he just crumpled. But yeah, I gave this 3.75. I actually wish it was longer. I mean, this should have been the 14:20, not 9:20. So,
yeah, this could have benefited from a little bit more time.
Yeah, this was very good, though.
There's one thing I would like to point out from this match that it really kind of pleasantly surprised me, but like, JBL was very insightful, and he actually added to this match with his callbacks and everything.
JBL, there was a while where I thought he was really good, and then suddenly he just became really terrible. I don't know what happened, but yeah, he was pretty solid in this match. I mentioned, I think, I mean, the Paul brothers are such great wrestling heels, but like they make way too much money to be in WWE for the schedule that Vince would want them to do, and the fact that they're like, oh well, you can't have this, you can't have this, you know, outside venture and that, and it's like they would not do that, but they are such great heels. I like the Paul brothers because so many people hate them and they're like they're being worked and people don't realize it.
I know Jake is great on the mic. I haven't really heard Logan talk as much, but I know people hate him, so I assume he's got to be up there too.
Well, yeah. He has one of my all-time favorite tweets. So he used to date Jose Canseco's daughter, so keep that in mind. And Jose Canseco on Twitter challenged either Paul brother to a fight. I think he called him the Logan Paul brothers, but he challenged either of them to a fight, and Logan quote tweeted it and said something like, "Sounds good. I love smashing Canseco's."
Okay, I didn't realize I saw that. I didn't know the context of him dating the daughter, if that makes it pretty good.
Amazing. So, what was next? Oh, yeah. Next, we had Sheamus defeats Riddle for the United States title in 10 minutes, 50 seconds. Finally got the U.S. title off this idiot. I did like the RVD plugging his rolling papers. There's 0% chance Vince knows what those are, or else he wouldn't have allowed it. But that was great.
It was wild to me that they're plugging rolling papers on WWE programming now.
I don't think Vince knows what that is. There's no way he knows.
Mm-hmm. It almost felt like that was not planned. I mean, I know it had to be, but it almost felt like that was not planned. Like, RVD just shoved that in.
Could be. I gave this 3.25, by the way. The ending was the real highlight, but it's like we talked about last night. Riddle is great in the ring, but his just personality, he's such an idiot, and I can't root for idiots.
I said it last night, but he's the one person that pulls off WWE comedy, and it works because he is basically like a big dumb stoner jock with just silly ideas, but who could beat the hell out of anyone. The one thing that was like scary in this one that they recovered, I guess, pretty well from, they didn't, like, you had made it very clear what it was, but when Sheamus went for the white noise and he was going to do it off all the way off the top rope, I know a lot of times he does it off the middle, but this time he was going to do it all the way off the top, and he like stumbled and Riddle kind of hit his head a little bit, it looked like he had the turnbuckle, that could have ended really poorly, but they picked it up and recovered.
Yeah, I did catch that botch. I also forgot the botch of Tamina missing a tag, which was really hilarious. But
then that end spot in this match with the Riddle, and they did a lot of fun stuff to the outside and stuff too. But the end spot where Sheamus gets the bro kick as Riddle's in midair and it looked like it connected super clean was a really, really fun looking spot. And as much as I love Riddle, I feel like this was kind of the right call too, because I think Sheamus has been great at just having matches that I have no interest in going into them, but always deliver when they happen. He's just like, I can't think of the last time I cared about a Sheamus match, maybe the Big E match at the end of the summer, but he's just had match after match that's just really good, and him having the U.S. title means that he should be able to do that on Raw, but now feel like there's something at stake. I think that's a good move, and I think for Riddle, as much as you hate it, I think he should be either the next challenger to Lashley, or maybe we can do, which we haven't seen talked about at all, but right before the last brand split, they teased the idea of broetry in motion with Riddle and Jeff Hardy, and I kind of like to see that tag team revisited. So you can either do broetry in motion against Styles and Omos, or you can shoot Riddle right for the top against Lashley. I don't see a lot of other heels that he could like work with on Raw, but I love Riddle and I like Sheamus a lot, so this was always good.
He can be the next challenger, just stop being obnoxious.
That is him though. Like,
I was gonna say that's Riddle,
but that wasn't him in NXT. He was not like this in NXT.
But it kind of feels like Riddle in real life too, to a degree, because like everybody forgets, like Riddle was great, like a really good UFC fighter who got kicked out for smoking too much weed. And, like, I've met him once at an Evolve show, and he literally seemed like he didn't know how much he wanted to charge for his autographs and stuff. Because, like, he had a little box of, like, his UFC cards. And so I bought one of those off of him, autographed. And I was like, oh, how much do you want? And he's like, he almost didn't know what to say. And so he seems kind of like that guy in real life.
But was he riding around on a scooter and just proposing different business ventures that don't make any sense?
Yes, he probably was. I didn't talk to him long enough, but I'm sure if I had stayed there, he would have.
All right. Well, next we had Big E, the hometown hero, loses to Apollo Crews in a Nigerian drum fight.
Let me ask, was the, because we'll get right into the finish, who was that interfered? Was that Dabba Kato from Raw Underground?
Yes. Dabba Kato. I love that guy so much. I've seen him. He's another one that I've seen at Evolve. And I'm not going to tell you he's like a five-star guy or whatever, but he is quick for his size. He emotes really well. I feel like he has some fun big guy moves. And I'm excited to see him. And I think him against Big E could be a lot of fun. And him being the big Nigerian general or whatever they're going to make him.
Yeah.
It was fun, and I think Cruz has been so good that Cruz could use an underling, and it's a good way to switch the title and keep Big E strong, because Big E didn't just lose to Cruz, so I loved everything about it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned five-star guy, because he actually is a five-star general in the Nigerian army.
I gave it 2 3/4. It was a plunder match. I couldn't really get into it. Apollo's gimmick, I'm sorry, it's so goofy. The accent is so bad.
His accent is terrible. I'll give you that.
I don't know.
I like that they did some fun callbacks in the match, like when Cruz tried to throw the stairs onto Big E and he rolled out of the way. And the camera angle for that was great, where like Big E probably rolled a full like 20 seconds before he threw it, but because they cut, it looked like Big E just missed it, and that was great. I like them like revisiting the idea of like show you the steel that Cruz was saying when he first turned heel and cut that whole like Nigerian ancestors promo. I thought, again, just Big E's doing his dive always looks great, even though people have pointed out he's probably gonna kill himself one day with that. So they did the Uranagi off the apron onto the stairs. That looked really ridiculous too to me. The drums didn't come into play enough, but it was still fun. Big E had the gong at one point, and I don't know, all things considered, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was kind of there for me. I'll forget this match in a couple weeks. Then we had Rhea Ripley defeats Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship, 13:30. I gave it 3 stars. It was fine. It's just bizarre that Rhea is the heel, and everyone knows that she should have won last year and missed her big moment. And it's like, it felt like she in her mind was like, this was what I should have happened to me last year. And it's like, am I supposed to cheer for her because she's a heel? Like, what's, I don't know. I don't know why they just didn't call her up as a face, but whatever. I thought the person who sang her entrance did absolutely terrible. That was my brutality, having to listen to that. I don't know if it was the mic, but oof, that was bad. But
I think it's the fact that, like, that song, like, that sound, that works in a studio. That doesn't necessarily work live.
Yeah, or maybe, like, a small concert venue, which that, yeah, whatever. But I don't know. It sounded bad to me, but
Though, at least she was not lip syncing, because like Wale did Big E's entrance, and I think it was really hard to hear Wale, and I'd rather somebody like be very loud and vocal where I can at least hear that you're genuinely singing and not lip syncing, than have it sound exactly like the track supposed to sound, but I don't know if you're really singing it or not. So I will give her at least some credit for doing her best, you know, singing, especially considering she just had the match at TakeOver with Ember Moon the other day. And she's been really busy. She's been hyped up on NXT a lot, but then for her to come out and perform Ripley's entrance was really nice and shocky.
I did think it was her at first. So.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah,
she was, I will say this, she did better than Downstate did when they played Cody to the ring last year.
The all-time worst Mania performance was when the DX band, and I know the guy passed away, but when they did America the Beautiful.
Yes.
Then they actually got booed. That's the all-time worst wrestling musical performance.
I was going to say, there's a theory out there that, like, someone told them to tank the performance so the DX guys would get more heat.
I mean, they were up against Austin. I don't think they needed more heat, but
that'd be great.
That was That was an all-timer. Main event. Roman, we gotta send the people home happy with the big baby face winning. So, of course, Roman Reigns, the top heel, beats Edge and Daniel Bryan to retain the title in 22:40. I gave this, what did I give it? 4 stars.
And this was the only match all weekend to go over 20, right? I think, which I think helped.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
That's so good, because I mean, I know there's been manias in the past. I think, what was it? Was it 29 or the one before it, where it was like 3 or 4 matches all went over 20? And it's like, that's part of why you have 7-hour-long shows that the crowd's dead for by the end of. So having this be the only one that went over 20 was definitely worth it. And they did so much fun stuff with this, like basically making it a fatal four-way with the way Jey Uso came into play. I thought it was good. The only thing that I was a little surprised at was I thought instead of Jey coming back near the end, I thought it would be that Jimmy showed up.
I did too.
I don't know what's going on with him, but it's a little weird that we still don't have just the Usos back together.
I thought it was Jimmy at first.
They said it was Jey, so I'm assuming it was Jey. Yeah. And he had the right-hand man shirt on, but at the same time, if they revealed that it was Jimmy and they just have the same haircut now, that wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah,
but they did a lot of fun stuff here.
Yeah, the match I thought was close to being overbooked, but I can't say it was. So it teetered on the edge, but it didn't. The results, are they going to send the people home happy? I mean, Bianca won, but like Lashley's the heel, he won. Who is it? Kevin Owens was the only face to win today. Like Big E, the hometown guy, loses. The other thing I forgot to mention, the Becky does not come back, so the Bellas get booed because they're not Becky Lynch. And I swear to God, if they have Becky return tomorrow on Raw, it's like, you idiots. Why do you need to do this to just be like, oh, we swerved you? Like, no, you swerved yourself because you're stupid. But that's worth mentioning. Anyway, the match itself was very good. I did think Daniel Bryan would win to send the fans home happy. I underestimated WWE's disdain for their fans. So Roman wins. Okay, because Big E's a challenger. Cesaro's a challenger. So it's not terrible. I'm not mad. It's just like, the fans, you're over a year without a show, and maybe send them home with Daniel Bryan. I don't know. Whatever.
I think this is actually the right call, because I think Roman kind of needed the win more than the other two, because Bryan's hot, but Bryan's going to always be hot no matter what, whenever you put him near the title. So you can go back to that well whenever you feel like it. Edge winning would be like a fun feel-good moment, but you just turn him heel, so that would feel a little off. But I think Roman, with him being the head of the table, I think you want a really over and fresh face to beat him. Like, my whole idea for months and months and months was that I wanted Big E to be the one to take the title from him at Mania. But then once they missed that, I was like, all right, let Big E either take it at SummerSlam or even next Mania. And I still think long-term, that's how I would play it. And for that reason, I was fine with the result. I just, maybe you flip the match order. Like, if it was up to me, I would have flipped the match order a little bit to send the crowd home happier and maybe done Bianca closing tonight as the main event, just so that, like, that's your final image. That's the crowd going home happy. And maybe this either closed last night or opened tonight. And then, I mean, but it's hard because the match itself was so good. But, yeah, the result was kind of deflating for the fans who were there live who clearly wanted to see Bryan or even Edge.
You could make but a case the Bad Bunny match could have closed a night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so, overall, what do we give WrestleMania? Let's do, I guess we can do 1 to 10. Caleb, you can start.
So are we doing? Are we just doing the second night, or are we doing the both shows overall?
Let's do the whole thing overall.
Okay, I would give this like a solid 7. You know, like there are plenty of good spots in here. Not a lot of great spots, but plenty of good spots in here. You know, nothing was like egregiously awful to the point of like ruining the shows. So that's for that reason, I'm going to stick with my 7 out of 10.
I'd go 8, and I'm always more generous with WWE, but I thought almost every match except for the first two tonight and the turmoil yesterday delivered and was at minimum fun, if not great. I thought both main events of night one and two were match of the year contenders for me. I liked, almost most importantly, I liked that it made me more interested in the product going forward because we did get so many title changes. And then Babatunde's debut and almost, I mean, or return rather, almost debut, stuff like that. I think there's enough there to like freshen up Raw and SmackDown going forward a little bit. And yeah, so overall for me, I'd say it was an 8. I enjoyed it. I liked that it was the two nights and that helped it be paced a lot better.
Yeah. One night, this would have been rough.
Back to 6 and 7 hour WrestleMania's next year. I think you've got to keep the two nights going forward or really, really take over it and make it like 4 hours, but more concise, like 4 hours, but not over 7 matches.
I would say you could, I would say I'm fine with one night, but it can't be 14 matches with video packages in between all of them. That's just, we got to cut down some of that.
I think if you're doing one night, you're hard capped to me at 10 matches, and I'd say 5 hours, including a pre-show. Because I think if you're doing one night, then you do matches on the pre-show again.
That's
and
fair.
If you do a 1 hour pre-show with like 2 or 3 matches, and then let's say a 7 or 8 card, 4 hour pay-per-view, I think that could work. But
yeah,
you can't do, like, I was there at MetLife, and it was so hard to keep the crowd up by the time you got to Becky and Charlotte and Rousey, because it was just, and that was a good show overall, but it was just such a long night. And that was with some matches like Rey versus Joe and Balor versus Lashley barely getting any time. And you still had a show that I think with the pre-show ended up going, what, almost 8 hours or legitimately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
7.5. Yeah.
Yeah. 5 is the absolute most you could do in a day. And that's, I really ideally almost wouldn't even want that. But if you're including a pre-show, I think you can get away with 5.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 7 as well. This was, you know, like you said, the turmoil was sloppy. The women's tag today was way too long and no heat. And then the Fiend stuff was just garbage. But the rest was fun. It's not, you know, if I look at WrestleManias like from 2018, 19, 17, 16, it's just a step below those as far as atmosphere because it's still not a huge crowd. I mean, 20,000, but in a stadium, it's, you know, it's not as huge. That being said, it was worlds better than last year, which I don't blame anyone because of the circumstance. But and it was great to have something to watch in April when we had nothing. So I was happy about that, but. Man, the no fans at all, as we mentioned yesterday, that was the low point with WWE in the pandemic when they didn't even have the Thunderdome. It was just empty. That didn't even feel like a WrestleMania. So I'm glad that they rebounded. Hopefully next year in Dallas we can get a sold-out 100,000 people in there. Now, before we go, I have
Eddie,
yes.
I have to ask a question, and I'm going to throw it to John. Will you guys at least make the attempt to make it to Dallas next spring?
I most likely will not. Just be honest.
All right.
I generally don't like traveling and having, like, I did it for Vegas and I drove in Vegas and that was fun. So if they ever do a Mania out there, I might go and I have family out there. But generally, I don't really travel to places solo and, you know, find my way around. I'm more of like a stay home unless I'm going with a group of people from home or family or whatever. So most likely not. You never know how things will change in a year, but
I honestly don't know. It's too far away to say. I may even be going to Dallas this year, so if that happens, I don't know if I would go twice in a 12-month span. So I don't know. We'll see what's going on. But a quick game.
I do think when it comes to talking about any pay-per-views now in 2021, there has to be a little bit of a curve to grade them on, and that's what I always do, because like I enjoy AEW, but AEW asked for, what is it, $50 for a pay-per-view now, and as opposed to Peacock, which is at most $10 a month. So for that reason, I feel like I'm always going to skew more towards like being lighter on WWE, just because like I remember when I was expected to pay $65 for these, and now that I only have to pay $10, I'm not expecting nearly as much.
That's fair. The counter argument would be they have the best roster ever assembled in the history of wrestling, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be consistently putting on the best shows, and in my opinion, they are not. Although this show was quite good, but Raw weekly can be a tough chore. That being said, finally,
yeah, there's no excuse for how bad the storylines have been overall as a company.
Yeah, yeah, and I got to mention that the camera cuts tonight were horrendous. Kevin Dunn, get the hell out! Like you're done. Like this, the kendo sticks from Apollo Crews was like motion sickness. anyway, predictions on call-ups. So I've got a couple. I'm not saying all of them will be. It's more of like, hey, don't be shocked. This is kind of like my throwing out a name. But if you have any, please feel free. But I'm throwing
I've
out.
I've got two.
Cole's the one that jumps out to me immediately.
Yep.
I had Adam Cole as well.
The only thing with Cole is I don't know. Do you want to call up singles Cole right now, and then what do you do with him? Because unless you're shooting him right to the title, where does Cole go at the moment? And that's the only thing I'm not sure about.
I am frightened for Adam Cole. But as soon as, I think it was Road Dogg said, if he was the size of Karrion Kross, he'd be the world champion. It's like, well, he's not the size of Karrion Kross, so that tells me that you're not going to have any interest in him. So I am scared for Adam Cole's future, but it's like, there's really nothing left for him in NXT. But my hope is it's like, hey, Shawn Michaels wasn't the biggest guy. Daniel Bryan's not the biggest guy. AJ Styles isn't the biggest guy. They've been headliners. I don't know. Maybe. But we'll see. I wouldn't bet on it. I'll say that. But hopefully I'm wrong because he's great and deserves a chance. But, man, I don't know. It's hard to gauge, Vince. It just is.
Yeah. I would co-sign on Adam Cole, and I would also add potentially Io Shirai as well.
Oh, she did lose the title to Raquel, right? That's
possible. Yeah. I thought Io is a possibility.
I think they want to keep Io. My opinion is they probably want to keep Io a little bit longer because they're definitely building up that next crop with the Zoe Starks and the Xia Lees and stuff. But I do think they want to establish a little bit more, especially because now that they have the tag titles down there, too. They have a lot of action for the women on one show. I don't know if they want to call up EO just yet. I think we might see is, I'm just going to throw one thing out there. Not a call-up, but a return. I feel like maybe Kairi Sane in the not-too-distant future, and we can get the Kabuki Warriors going back for the tag titles or something.
Well, she's in Japan now, so.
No, I know, but people are allowed to travel. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the concept of an airplane.
Yeah, I think she works for another company, though.
But just that's one idea that I had, because, like I said, I feel like they need something for the women's tag titles, because that match tonight was not it.
Yeah, it's not it, Chief.
We'll see. Anybody else think? Like I said, I hope I hope we get Bro Retreat in Motion formed. That would be a fun pairing for me. I wonder if the War Raiders are close to coming back. I know, was it Ivar or whatever, one of them was in the Battle Royal, so maybe Hanson is going to be healthy soon. Or Roe, whichever one was. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. I feel like it's going to be hard because you don't need it the same way that you used to, too, because it's like, now you don't have live fans. I think you have some stuff with Almost debuting. You have the Dabakeda. I think Becky is the big return that you could get. But
yeah.
I guess Kairi Sane's not wrestling in Japan.
Huh. Are like the two sort of big ones that you might see.
Yeah, I thought Kairi Sane was wrestling in Japan. She is not, but she lives there. I will throw out a few other names. I think it's time to move Toni Storm up. This heel turn run is, I'm not feeling it.
I think as a face,
she could be a big time star. She's great in the ring, great personality, super cool. I think that would play well on the main roster. I think it's beyond time, and
yeah,
she's
like
not
Toni
doing much in NXT, so it's fine.
Toni's wrestling ability is definitely why I enjoy watching her. I'd like to see her wrestle every single week.
I'm not trying to be a misogynist. Couple other names. I have two other ones. One is kind of a wild card. A tag team, I would go with Grizzled Young Veterans, just because they seem to have put over MSK. So I don't see them challenging them for, what, a third time? And I think it's time to bring them up. And I'm pretty high on James Drake. I think he's, you know, Zach Gibson, to me, it's like he is just Stu Grayson or Oney Lorcan. I mean, they all look the same. And I've heard he's the better wrestler of the two. I haven't seen him enough to say that. But Zach Gibson's got a great look. He's kind of like a young Triple H in that he would look great in a suit, but he also looks like he would go to like a rock concert and kick your ass. So great look, cool name. I see things for him, and I'm already broken up the team, even though they're not called up yet. But yeah, I love that's how WWE does tag teams. Let's be honest.
I love both of those guys. I just don't think we're going to see a call up for the NXT tag division because they're still so shallow there, and they care about tag teams more than the main roster.
Yeah.
You know what I think I realize we'll probably see soon, or I'd imagine we have to? Keith Lee returning. Whether that's the feud with Lashley or a feud with the Sheamus or whatever, we'll see. But I think Keith Lee has to come back soon, I'd imagine.
You would hope.
Let me throw out one other name. Finn Balor.
Yeah.
He lost the title. Not much for him left in NXT.
Balor and Sheamus would be a fun feud. The two Irish can just...
It would only be human nature if you're Finn Balor to be like, I like it here in NXT. It's much lower stress. But part of you's got to be like, I really want another crack at that main roster because, I don't know. And he's so marketable. I just feel like they got to give him one other shot.
I'm going to throw out something that I know both of you guys are going to hate, but just throwing it out there for the hell of it.
Is it Dexter Lumis?
What if the Alexa turn on the Fiend is for her to align with Demon Balor? Demon Balor as an every week thing with Alexa managing him.
I hate it.
Oh, I would love it. I hate Finn. I love the Demon. So anything that gets the Demon on my screen works for me.
Can I ask a follow up question?
Great. What's that?
How long is the subsequent Finn Balor and Fiend feud?
You know this WrestleMania?
Yes.
Yeah, till next one.
Ooh, God. I'm going to have to pass then.
Yeah.
Because that's how that works.
If you said Backlash, I would probably live with that. But, what is it, WrestleMania Backlash? At least I don't know, that was weird. But, yeah, I don't know, I just, part of me thought, I'm like, hey, they don't really need the star power as much because they're not going head-to-head with another wrestling promotion anymore. So, and he just lost the title, it's like, not much left for him, you know. What if? So I don't know. It's just a name I thought of, but that could be interesting.
NXT also has a lot of guys. NXT has a lot of guys who are kind of just waiting in the wings. Like they haven't debuted Alex Zane on TV, who I'm really, really high on. They, I forget who else. I know they just signed a bunch of guys in their latest crop. I feel like I always do this. I like say something and then I can't remember any specifics about it. But NXT, I know, has a lot of talent just sort of waiting to get on TV now. Like I said, Alex Zane is the name that stands out to me as the most, like, this guy's going to be a star. But I guess we'll see. Oh, another name that I'm thinking about for call-ups, and this is just assuming they want to do something with him because I think maybe Vince is high on him. Velveteen Dream. I know.
That was a great show, everyone. We are out of time.
But they haven't released them, and if they're not going to release them, you got to eventually use them. So put them on Raw, put them on SmackDown, do something with them, because it doesn't seem like you're going to have them on NXT again.
Disavow.
I don't think they're going to put him on Raw or SmackDown. I think they're going to keep him on ice until his contract runs out.
Agree.
I don't know. I think he's still – I mean – don't get me wrong, what he did was creepy as hell. But if I'm not mistaken, there's no actual charges against him. And he is still one of the only very young guys they have signed who's established at all. So even if they keep him on ice for a long time, even if they keep him on ice for a whole year, let's say, until like to see if anything else comes up or anything else comes of the prior accusations, I do think we'll eventually see him on TV again. It may not be right now. But I think unless more comes out about him, we'll see him again.
Disavow. So that is our show. And yep. Does anyone have a WrestleMania quote?
I have a prediction for next year. You know, you guys are talking about Big E and Cesaro and blah, blah, blah. And the obvious main event for next year's WrestleMania, whether anyone likes it or not, is Roman Reigns versus Rock for the title.
Versus who?
The Rock.
Oh, God. The president.
Yes. He'll be president in 2032.
More sense for LA, but it could happen in Dallas too. And I would hate it. I would hate it. I despise the idea of that match happening at WrestleMania. I would like it at any other pay-per-view, but I think it's absolutely realistic.
Well, I hate the idea of not necessarily that happening at WrestleMania, but that happening for the title.
Well, see, I don't even mind it being for the title because, like, the story is really interesting to me. And if you had it at sort of, like, SummerSlam or something, I'd be like, all right, I can get behind that. But if it's at WrestleMania, I feel like it's almost a no-win because it's either, all right, Roman wins and we really solidify Roman, but then it's like it's another WrestleMania without the feel-good moment to close the show. Or it's The Rock wins and it's, I guess, technically a feel-good moment, but I have no interest in The Rock holding a title ever again. At least doing it at SummerSlam, it's like, all right, even if The Rock wins, we know he's not holding it till WrestleMania, so it'll be interesting to see who Rock drops it to or when he drops it. But just that WrestleMania, I think WrestleMania is the place where you get that big, whether it's Daniel Bryan at 30 or Kofi at, what was it, 35 or Bianca this year. WrestleMania should be your place where you get your crowning achievement for your baby faces. And Reigns and The Rock just doesn't do that for me at all.
I get you.
Well, this is a good Mania. It's in the books. We'll see what happens this time next year.
Yep. Peace
Hopefully,
out.
Hopefully with a full stadium.
Yeah. All
and,
right.
And as Michael Cole would say, one, two, Sasha kicked out.